I hear Richard Best picking on that red guitar. So gather round, now gather round, chill and be down. Well, just get down, chill and get loud. Well, you can be loud, yeah, and be proud. And you can be proud, yeah, and I'll be proud. Well, yeah, because South's gonna do it again and again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 1065-251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line if you would like to respond to anything we are discussing this morning. We do appreciate you listening. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Very grateful for his time. State Representative Steve Klaus of Ozark is also the chairman of the House of Representatives General Fund Committee. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing fine, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for making time. We always appreciate you coming on. A special session set for next week, and you've seen this play before. You feel different this time?
Well, I think so. But a number of us have been meeting here since the end of the regular session. Once the lease plan appeared that it was going to fall apart, and members of the House and the Senate and the governor's office started meeting the first week in June, and been going back and forth several different drafts, and I think we've come up with a plan here that will be acceptable by the majority, and we'll just see where it goes. I just think it's a defining moment here for the legislature. We got to get this issue settled. It's not an easy issue. It's very complicated, and it's complicated because it affects facilities all over the state. It's dealing with prisons, and nobody likes to fund prisons, and it's just a hard nut to crack. And but anyway, I think that the plan's a good plan, and I look forward to getting it presented, and let's see what the discussion goes.
And kind of talking to some guys, some of your colleagues, getting a feel for where they're at. Even the more conservative members of the Republican caucus in the House seem very receptive to the idea. And the reason they find it so praiseworthy is that it is fiscally conservative, or as less of a burden as a taxpayer as it could possibly be at this point in time, it seems.
Well, it is. I mean, the thing is, gone in different directions over the last 5 years. Back when Governor Bentley presented the bond proposal at that time in 16, and it looked like it was pretty close to passing, and we ran out of time. And you know, I thought it would pass in 17, but then Governor Bentley got into his issues and had to resign from office, and so that knocked that out of the way. So you know, last year we had to suspend the session because of COVID. We just had a number of bad luck, but last 6 months, I think we've had some good luck, really. Even though the governor did her due diligence on the lease program to try to figure out a solution, and I think she did the right thing trying to see if that would work. It didn't work, and that was really a good thing, because it was not going to be a good plan for the citizens in the final analysis. And then when the rescue plan came out in March, it became evident around June, once we started getting guidance, that we would be able to use part of these funds for prison construction. So that helped lessen our debt amount that we would have to take out on bonds and save us interest income going down the road. So, you know, It is a conservative plan, and it is phased in based on once one project is finished in phase one, which is actually two projects, Escambia and Elmore County, and we go on to phase two. So it's a plan for the next 10 years that we can help get these facilities issues settled here in the prison system.
And the breakdown on the financing that you mentioned the federal money, mm-hmm. and then you mentioned the potential bond issue, and interest rates are very low, so that seems to be working in your favor. But then something I don't think a lot of people are aware of. You had a surplus coming out of the last session here that you didn't anticipate for the general fund.
Well, we had a surplus, but then we had more than what we anticipated. The general fund receipts have been very good here over the last 6-7 months, and so that's going to enable us to go ahead and buy this Perry County facility with cash and put another amount of cash in there to get these projects started in Elmore and Escambia, so we can start putting shovels in the ground the first quarter of next year, probably around February, while we're getting the bond issued at that time. So, that really has helped us a lot from that standpoint.
How much of a burden will the Perry County facility relieve on some of the overcrowding? I mean, the knock on it's been two things. It's not a very big facility, but there's room for expansion. But the other part is, given it's kind of an isolated geographic location there in Perry County, it may be harder to get prison guards to staff it. Does any of this address that?
Yeah, it's a very isolated facility, and that's the reason why we've had such issues trying to figure out whether or not we wanted to buy it or not. But it's basically, even though it's been in existence for about 15 years, it never has really been used except for a few times through the immigration department and some other things, but just a small amounts of time. So it's in pretty good shape. We're going to be putting together a system here with pardons and parole where they're going to be doing some workforce training, recidivism, probably set up a statewide system where we're having these issues with state prisoners in county jails, where this will be a facility to get those inmates out of the county jails and have a place for them to go while they go through their process, because it's usually they're nonviolent prisoners that have had parole violations, and it's not like they're hardened criminals or stuff like that. They've didn't take their urine test or didn't show up at court when they were supposed to. So, you know, but they've got to account for that if they don't follow through on their parole guidelines. So this is going to be a facility to help alleviate those county jails of overcrowding.
Yeah, because you talked to the county commissioners or the County Commission Association. That's one of their biggest gripes right now is the backlog is overwhelming, that they're not taking prisoners. So the burdens have been put on the counties, and they have limited resources like everyone else.
That's right. And of course, we passed legislation this last session to address that. And starting January 1st, the counties, after 30 days, they can bring those inmates to the state prison and drop them off. So the Perry County facility will be a facility where we can take care of those issues.
Joined by State Representative Steve Klaus of Ozark here on the program. Representative, you mentioned the Board of Pardons, or you mentioned the Bureau of Pardons and Paroles, mm-hmm. and what they're trying to do. Whenever this discussion about prisons comes up, I'm sure you're well aware, the Democrat side of the aisle really is pushing criminal justice reform, depending on what your definition of that is. But their idea of criminal justice reform, and I think everyone else's, is maybe two different things. But how much of this is going to be a factor in this special session?
We're continually talking with the Democrats on these reform issues, and I think there's a possibility that we may take up two of those bills that they're talking about. When we passed those bills in the House last session and didn't get to the Senate, basically because of time restraints, So I don't know that that much opposition in the Senate. We'll see. But when I'm dealing with the look back provision on retroactive for presumptive sentencing guidelines prior to October of 2013. I don't have the bills in front of me. Another one is dealing with a mandatory supervision, which ensures that inmates coming to the end of their sentence undergo mandatory supervision. And that, of course, have a lot to do with pardon and paroles there. So anyway, we're still talking about those two and see what the possibilities of bringing those two up.
Structurally, I know there's a draft floating around out there of the bill that was leaked to the media, but does it in any way really change the structure of the Department of Corrections? Are we going to see some changes in the bureaucracy, I guess, that is different than it is now?
Well, this bill won't address that. I mean, we just got to get – this is going to be a replacement Fed bill. To try to, we're not adding a room. We're just trying to fix the dilapidated conditions that are in these prisons all over the state. And of course, we got a gun to our head by the federal judge dealing with these facilities. And so the two megas in Elmore and Escambia, if we can get those going as quickly as we think we can, have those finished in the two and a half years, then we can start moving some inmates from these other facilities that we want to renovate, such as Limestone and Donaldson up in Jefferson County, get the women's facility in Tutwiler, get it rebuilt on state-owned property there. And of course, at that point, the Department of Corrections will renovate one of those facilities, either in Barber or Bullock County. But the two megas give us room to try to, as we go through the process, to move inmates in there while the renovation is going on. And it has to be done in phases, simply because we don't have the capacity in the state of Alabama, the construction capacity to do all of this at one time. And, of course, we want to do it also in phases there, the money that we'll be saving on interest income from the bond, that we'll be setting up a renovation fund to put that money in so we can pay as we go on the renovation, because we were looking at around $88 million a year on the lease proposal. And, of course, now this bill will – At the top amount of $785 million on the bond, that's around $50 million a year. So we'll have about $38 million a year that, if we're disciplined and do like we're supposed to, we can be putting that into a renovation fund to pay as we go on these renovations.
And one more question on that. The Bibb County facility is out of the picture now. That is going to be, that is no longer going to be a part of the equation.
That's right. As far as that location that had been identified on the lease plan. Now, as we get into phase three, and if it appears that we've got to build another mega prison, then the present Bibb County location that's on state-owned property, that may very well be a location to build that mega there next to where the present location is in Bibb County.
Well, the problem with that was, I remember when they built it, because I grew up in that area, but that it was kind of built on a swampy piece of land, and back then it was the metal prefab building, and it just wasn't meant for that sort of environment.
Yeah,
and that's why that one seems to be struggling with as much as some of these older facilities. Real quick, Representative, before we get you out of here, running for Speaker of the House, so just give us an update on what you're looking at right there. I know it's over a year away, but it's still a discussion, I suppose.
Well, I guess to some point, but you know, right now, just concentrating on this special session dealing with prisons, and then we'll obviously have to go into our redistricting special session that will take a lot longer than 1 week. We'll probably go the full 12 legislative days on that, and then we go into a regular session the second Tuesday in January. So things are going to be really fast paced here, and then the primary is in May. So I, you know, I've got to get reelected my House seat first, and
right.
Then if that's the case after that, then I'm going to be putting my name up to the membership to run for Speaker. So we'll see how that goes. But I look forward to talking to all of our members about that prospect.
Let me ask you one more question. Hearing some chatter, or at least there's a push, I don't know how realistic it is, about a gaming special session. Is that even something mm-hmm. being contemplated?
I don't think so. I haven't talked to anybody about it, and I just don't, just looking at the calendar, I just don't see how we can do that. We'll go into the redistricting special session probably the last week in October, and that will last at least 3 weeks, maybe four, and then you're pushing into Thanksgiving, then you go into Christmas, and like I said, we go into regular session the second Tuesday in January, so I just don't think there's a time frame for that, but we may very well deal with it in the regular session.
Well, you heard it here. Hey, Representative, you've been very kind to come on. We always appreciate having you on.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
State Representative Steve Klass of Ozark there. We got to get a break. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.